Live at AsylumFantasySports.com, RFSportsRadio.com, and heard worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Rick, it's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show.
Yes, it is. We're Flieger and Briggs. Welcome to the Asylum. And big announcement this week.
We are
now part of FF Oasis. So check them out, FFOasis.com. And you've heard Scott Fish. He was on the Inside Slant every Sunday with us last year. You'll find him at Scott Fish on Twitter, and of course you'll find at FF Oasis on Twitter and a whole bunch of the other guys. And we're just proud to be part of that familia.
Yeah, absolutely. Check them out as a proud member of their group. Dave said, there goes the neighborhood. The asylum has moved in. There goes the neighborhood. So thank you to those guys. Happy to be part of it. Rick, we have got a guest on the line. It's March Madness. It's tournament time. We ought to get right into it.
No doubt about it. We're going to start our second annual Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament, the first round from the Final 64. And old friend of the Asylum, long time. I haven't talked to him. You know him on Twitter, at Fantasy Sixth Man, Jason Consoli. Welcome back.
Fellas, you guys are going big time on me now, like FF Oasis, you guys are on iTunes, you got more Twitter followers than I have hair left on my head. I mean, like, you guys are really starting to blow up on me. You're not going to just forget about me when you guys are, like, you know, taking over the next big fantasy sports platform, are you?
Who is this anyway?
Probably not the next one, but the one after that. You know, when we hit like ESPN or something, we probably will forget all about you. I can't lie.
That's right. I'd probably forget about myself if I was on ESPN at the same time. So.
I'll forget about me too.
Yeah.
So before we jump into the tournament here, I know we got limited time to get through the whole first round. I understand it must be a day of mourning for you, my friend, as the Sanchez has been cut. Michael Vick coming to your beloved Jets, the Sanchez on his way out. Are you now an Eagles fan? That's the question.
It was a tough one, but I'm going to be honest. The performance and the I'm a half glass full guy. The performances that I saw towards the end of the season last year from my man Geno Smith, I think the future's bright for the Jets. And I don't mean to just kind of be fickle and, you know, and be with the quarterback of the moment, but towards the end of the year, he showed me some things where I was like, well, Sanchez couldn't do that, and you know, sorry, buddy. New York's a tough town, man. You got to win, and you got to win consistently. Otherwise, you know, they'll boo you regardless of who you are.
And the big question to me is, with Sanchez, is he going to be able to keep that snappy hairdo somewhere else?
Did you just say snappy?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, that is just a snappy-looking dude.
God, you are 100 years old.
I don't know. I mean, it's...
Looking at this snappy-do across the table from me, I'll tell you what. Sanchez ain't got nothing to be ashamed about looking at that blockhead over here.
Looking at this.
You guys would probably know more than me. Are there paparazzi that follow you guys around in Pennsylvania, or is that something you haven't reached that status yet?
There's one fat guy from the VFW down the street, but
we
he does
just call
take
him
a lot
Pop.
Of, yeah, he does take a lot of pictures, though.
He's got his blog going, his Flieger and Briggs blog going, where it's, you know, they're just like us. They go food shopping, and then they eat ice cream, too.
That's right. We do all the same things as you, so don't forget that. All right, Jay Smooth, we better jump right into it. Why don't we start in the East? I wanted to have the music up, Rick, and I forgot, so we're not going to have the March Madness music. We'll just jump right in. Rick, I'll let you count down the East bracket. So how are we going to do this? Just best two out of three? Is that what we're going to do, very democratic?
That's how we do it, and that's how we roll right here. But, you know, the first, the 1-16 matchup, the defending champ from last year, Jamaal Charles against Monty Ball. There's just really not much to discuss here. Jamaal Charles is still my number one guy going in.
Yeah, I have some fears of Jamaal Charles, but certainly not against Monty Ball, so I don't think there's much to discuss there.
Yeah, you're not going to get many arguments from me out of that. I think even on his in his worst year, he still – now, if you're talking in terms of value, I think that if you could get Monte Ball later on in your draft, you're gonna get some production out of him this year. But, I mean, at the same time, this is a top-five player in Jamaal Charles that we're talking about. There's really no – if there's one thing I've learned from all of the March Madness brackets that I've lost over the years, is you don't try to get too cute in the early rounds, and I'm not getting too cute with this one. It's JC all the way.
No doubt about it. Let's just move on to, instead of moving straight down, we'll move to the 215. We can breeze through some of them and then get to the meat of the brackets here. Got Eddie Lacy over Kendall Wright. I really like what I saw in Kendall Wright last year, but I think Eddie Lacy is going to be huge, and I don't see a close game at all.
Yeah, a bad draw for Kendall Wright. This is a guy I think with a better draw is prime for an upset. This is a guy heading in the right direction and a guy I've got my eye on going into next season. But Eddie Lacy, we talk about Jamaal Charles as a top five guy. In terms of running backs, if this kid can stay healthy, I loved what I saw out of him, a perfect fit in that Green Bay offense. And I think Eddie Lacy's set up for a run and certainly going to take out Kendall Wright here.
Yeah, no arguments on my behalf there either. I do have some questions with Kendall Wright as to who his quarterback's going to be this year. You know, we saw him come on late in the year last year with Ryan Fitzpatrick on the center. We don't know we don't know for a fact that Tennessee is putting all their faith in Jake Locker. They might go out and draft somebody. But, you know, regardless, Eddie Lacy, yeah, this guy's got a bright future ahead of him, too. I'm all on board with him as well.
No doubt about that. And the next one, the 314, I really questioned the selection committee when they had put Matt Ryan in here,
yeah,
quite frankly, with some of the other quarterbacks. You're going against Dez Bryant, it's a blowout all the way to me as far as value goes.
Yeah, no commentary necessary for me. I'm going to stick chalk right here, and Dez Bryant moves on easily. I agree the selection committee may have been a little remiss in getting Matt Ryan even in the tournament.
Yeah, it must have been some Boston College alumni that were voting for Matt Ryan on that one. I'm with you guys 3-for-3. I think, especially since I think we might have forgotten to preface by saying that this is a PPR format. So to me, Dez Bryant is just a no-brainer in this pick.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's PPR format. And, you know, the winner's basic. You're basing it not necessarily who you think is going to get the most fantasy points, because most likely your quarterback is going to be your top scorers, but with the amount of points you get from quarterbacks, we're basically looking at the value. Who's actually going to win your season? And just like case in point, Jamaal Charles won a lot of championships last year, you know, along with Calvin Johnson and so forth. But let's move on to the 413. DeMarco Murray had a great year last year, and hit Tom Brady, a perennial favorite, not such a good year. The only question that comes into mind, do you think Brady's really going to come back? I don't see them making any significant moves as far as that goes. I like DeMarco Murray still. I'm going chalk here.
If I knew Rob Gronkowski was going to be back 100% healthy, and, you know, to use your old line, he drops a full round per surgery, and he seems to be keeping that going. This is a tough draw for DeMarco Murray. I've never been a big DeMarco Murray guy. But he showed me last year in staying healthy and getting it done. Murray's a guy, I think he's going to be a value. You're probably getting him, it's probably still a second-round guy, but late in the second round. And if you go wide receiver first round of your draft, which I'm starting to lean towards doing, you can turn around and catch Murray at the end of the second round. I think he's a good value. This is tough. I think they're getting some pieces around Tom Brady. I think they could be in for a renaissance, but I don't have the guts to pull the trigger here. It's DeMarco Murray for me in a close one. It come down to the wire. They had to, DeMarco Murray had to hit some free throws down the stretch to seal this one away.
See, for me, I'm looking for the upset here, guys. DeMarco Murray, to me, he's got Doug Martin 2013 written all over him for me. This is a guy that's never able to stay healthy. This is a guy that he's got the talent. It's just, you know, he's never been able to stay on the field long enough to produce. He did it last year. I understand that. But look at where you're getting Brady in this instance. And Brady still, regardless of who he surrounds himself with, has the upside to be a top-five quarterback. So, I mean, yeah, we were all counting Peyton Manning out that year after he missed the entire season with the neck surgery, and he came back and was fine. He was Peyton Manning again. I still think that there's upside in a guy like Brady. If you get him as your eighth or your ninth quarterback in a draft this year, like the eighth or the ninth taken off the board, he could easily finish the year as a top three quarterback. And, you know, we've seen in other years where, you know, who's he throwing to? Well, just somebody emerges. Julian Edelman emerges. Or, you know, Aaron Hernandez or Rob Gronkowski, or, you know, just random wide receivers that, you know, we don't know anything about Aaron Dobson. We don't know anything about Kembrell Tompkins. These guys could be the next 1,000-yard receiver that the Patriots have. So for me, I'm looking at the upset on this, and I'll take my lumps if Murray produces like he did last year.
All right, that's the first one that wasn't unanimous. DeMarco Murray got 2 votes to 1 for Brady. Next one here, a 5-12. You know, a lot of times you look for an upset there. I'm looking for a bounce back year from Aaron Rodgers. I hate going chalk all the time. Victor Cruz, yeah, you know, coming off the year with the Giants had. I'm looking for Rodgers and Cruz to both have comeback years. I'm looking for Rodgers to have a big year.
Yeah, I think just you talk about value. Victor Cruz, he's actually going to fall, I think, a little bit in drafts coming out of that. There could be some value there. Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. I think for all the reasons Jay Smooth brought up with Tom Brady, same with Aaron Rodgers in a 5-12 matchup. I can't go against him here. Victor Cruz has got a big, big Eli Manning problem right now, and until we can resolve that somehow, I just don't see him going over a Victor Cruz. So you and I doing a lot of agreeing, which makes me uncomfortable.
I think Victor Cruz's problems go beyond an Eli Manning problem. I can't name another wide receiver on that offense that has any sort of consistency or has produced on a year-to-year basis. You know, there's all the rumors going around here that they're going to get that tight end out of University of North Carolina in the draft this year, but they really haven't done much this year to shore up their offense except sign Rashad Jennings away from the Raiders. So 3 for 3 again, I'm taking Rodgers with you guys.
Okay, and that moves us to what, the 6? Oh, yeah, the 6-11. Now, this is a much more interesting one. Randall Cobb coming off an injury, and, of course, Gronk, same deal. And if you brought up a good point, Rick. If Gronkowski's healthy, it could be all the difference in the world for not only the Patriots, but for you, drafting a tight end for Brady.
Absolutely. And a lot of dominoes fall with Gronkowski.
As much as I'm looking for a big year from Rodgers, and I like Cobb. I'm going for the upset. I'm going Gronk. I think value-wise, he may slip a little bit this year. And I think he just may come back as a Gronkowski that we know and trust.
All right, you're making me completely sick because here we go again. Look, I don't trust Gronkowski's health. If he's healthy, this is an easy one for me. Randall Cobb, I have never bought into Randall Cobb. I don't know where for 2 straight off-seasons, this being the third, all this Randall Cobb love comes from. It could work out. He hasn't stayed healthy. I haven't seen it yet. I know if Rob Gronkowski stays healthy. If I got health questions on both sides, I know what Gronkowski can do. So we're going to do it again, and we're going to agree and advance Gronk.
Yeah, 3 for 3 again, guys. Again, let's just take it from a blank slate. It's the start of a new season. We have to assume that whatever was wrong with Gronk last year, whatever was wrong with Cobb last year, I mean, Cobb broke his leg last year, so it's not as a dire situation as somebody who has like a knee problem or shoulders or just nagging injuries. But regardless, if they both start off the year healthy, you have a chance with Gronkowski to really draft an impact player later on in the draft. I'm going with him, and it's not even close.
All right, let's move on here so we can get this bracket done before the break. We got to go to, what is it, the 7-10 matchup. Doug Martin and Antonio Brown. To me, this isn't even close. I'm not buying into Doug Martin, and I'm not touching him, and it's Antonio Brown all the way with me.
Yeah, Doug Martin could be a value down there at that 7 seed where he's going to fall if he gets back healthy and back where he was. I didn't like what I saw when he was healthy at the beginning of the year. Antonio Brown, to me, emerged as one of the elite wide receivers in this league, really flourished in that number one role with Mike Wallace leaving Pittsburgh. I agree. Once again, Rick, we're perfect. 7 for 7 here, but Antonio Brown fairly easily for me.
Now, this has got nothing to do with the fact that you guys are blatant Steelers homers, that you're taking Antonio Brown over Doug Martin, guys.
One thing you should know about most Steelers fans is we're self-hating Steelers fans and thus hate the players individually, love the team, but hate all players individually. So a little known fact about Steelers fans. So very, very little to do with it, actually.
Yeah.
I just had to double check. You know, I mean, if I start seeing something funny in the West bracket with Le'Veon Bell, I'm going to call you out on it again. But
all right.
I'm with you guys on this one, too. And it's just from this past season, I'd say my overall drafting philosophy changed, especially in a PPR league. I'm more apt to get a second wide receiver now before I get a second running back. So I look at these two where, okay, they both have the potential to be top 10 at their position, but the PPR option puts Brown and most wide receivers ahead in my book. So I'm taking Brown as well.
All right, and in the 8-9 matchup, I got to go real quick here. Pierre Garçon and Wes Welker. This is one I actually probably could do some discussion with. I love what Pierre Garçon did last year, and it kills me to go against him if I had to against Wes Welker. But you know what? I'm going with the favorite. I'm going Pierre Garçon another big year.
In a PPR format, Rick, now with Eric Decker gone, I wonder if Welker's workload is going to increase. I'm actually going to go Wes Welker there. So real quick before we go to the break, Jay Smooth, we will need the tiebreaker here.
Ooh, it's coming down to me. I'll tell you what, if it's between two guys who I feel the same way about in the sense that I could see draft them in the same place, I got to go with the better quarterback. Give me Welker.
All right, so there he is, another mild
Welker
upset.
Squeaks by an OT.
That's right. All right, Rick, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. And we're back. It's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Rick, it's the 2014 NCAA Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament dropping down to the Midwest region.
The Midwest, yes, indeed. This is going to be fun. Oh, and Jason, we just let you know, I'm looking out the window here, and I can hardly see my next-door neighbors because the snow is coming down so hard. So.
Oh, we're going to be getting that tomorrow, apparently.
No.
Gonna hit up.
I just figured I'd let you know it's on the way.
It's on the way.
Oh, good. I'm very happy. We're almost into April. It's going to snow in the baseball season.
Okay. The 116, I don't think it bears any discussion unless you really feel an upset coming. I like Peterson well over Hakeem Nicks.
Yeah, I don't think any discussion there. It's AD for me.
I had to actually Google what team Hakeem Nicks signed with before I picked this just because I was curious. But it's AP for me as well.
Okay. The 215, Matt Forte coming off a huge year with Chicago. Against one of the most dynamic players in the league when healthy, but that's the problem. And it's Matt Forte against Percy Harvin. And I'll let you go first, Rick, instead of me all the time.
I wish I had the guts to take Percy Harvin. If this was last offseason, I think he'd have been seeded higher, first of all, and would think this guy'd have an opportunity to win a game. I have no faith that this kid's going to stay healthy. I still, going into year two, don't know what his role is going to be in this Seattle offense, so I got to play it safe and go with a perennial top five back in Matt Forte.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I got to pick the same as well. I'm very tempted by Harvin just because of the upside. We've seen when he's healthy what he's capable of doing. It's just, you know, when you're talking about a guy like Forte, you know it's safe. You know, this is a guy who you know what you're getting from him. You know that he's going to be a top 10 running back with potential to be a top 5 back, you know, in a PPR format, too. For me, it's not, you know, when you keep breaking it down, it just, the arrow keeps pointing forward to Tate's favor. Give me Matt Forte in this.
Yeah, now I make it unanimous, Matt Forte. The 314, Josh Gordon in a romp over Jones-Drew. He doesn't even have a team yet, and I'm not even going to discuss it.
Yeah, I love Josh Gordon. I think maybe even a little underseeded at 3, the way I'm setting up my drafts going into next season. That's a romp's a good word, Josh Gordon, for me.
Now, let me ask you, if Maurice Jones-Drew happens to sign with the Jets, does that change your opinion on him whatsoever?
Oh, absolutely. He's a top 10 pick at that point. Oh.
I mean, I just, again, that's the rumor floating around, so just wanted to be sure. See, for me, it doesn't matter either way. I'm going Josh Gordon. That guy's a beast.
All right, A.J. Green, the 4 seed against 13 seed Julius Thomas, who really emerged out of literally nowhere last year on that powerful Denver offense with Peyton Manning. You know, can he keep the magic up? And even if he does, is it enough to dethrone A.J. Green out of that position there?
Rick, it is for me. It is, Julius. It is so hard. We went through a period a couple years ago with Gonzalez when Antonio Gates was still rolling. There was 7 or 8 of these top-flight tight ends. We're down to Jimmy Graham and maybe Julius Thomas, you know.
And Gronk,
if he's healthy. Vernon Davis has disappointed at this point. With Peyton Manning, Thomas, especially in terms of scoring touchdowns, is so valuable. A.J. Green, he's still a top-flight wide receiver. I still got Calvin Johnson. I still got Josh Gordon. Julio Jones, if he can stay healthy, I have above him. I think in terms of value and in terms of positionally, what you get, this guy's the number two guy, and he might leap ahead of I just blanked on his name, Jimmy Graham, for God's sake, with Graham's contract concerns. I'm going to pull the upset here, the 413 upset. And I like Julius Thomas.
Well, Rick, you're not alone. And I think that the one, just to build on the points that you made, there's no Eric Decker there right now. You know, he signed with my team. So that's going to just, you know, shift some more targets going to Thomas's way. And the one thing that happened with Green last year that we really didn't see up until last year is he started to bring a little bit of questions to his durability, got hurt in preseason, kind of slowed him out off the gate, got hurt towards the end of the season. He was just banged up here and there. For where you're taking Thomas in this draft, in this position, I just think there's too much value there to pass up. Give me the upset.
Well, I tell you, I hate to do it, but I'm making it unanimous. I love A.J. Green. And look, Andy Dalton surprised a lot of people. He's actually like the fourth highest scoring quarterback in fantasy last year. I don't know if he can duplicate that. Green's certainly going to be huge, but I like Julius Thomas. I think he's one of the very few elite tight ends. I'm going the upset as well. Okay, we're moving on to what is that, the 5?
Yeah, we're at the 5-12.
Okay, the 5-12. And I have to find it. Oh, there it is. Yeah, Brandon Marshall at 5 and Chris Johnson at 12. Jay Smooth, we'll let you take this one here first.
For me, this was kind of simple, only because we don't even know if Chris Johnson is going to be on the Titans after this week. You know, I mean, there's been all sorts of trade rumors surrounding him. There's been all sorts of, you know, questions about his effectiveness in the offense at Tennessee. And, I mean, you know what you're getting with Brandon Marshall. Yeah, he lost a little bit of steam last year towards the end of the year to Alshon Jeffery. You know, when Cutler was banged up and McCown went in there, that's the way that they sort of went. I still think that Marshall, you're still getting a top five receiver out of him. Give me Brandon Marshall in this bracket.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, I'm done. I am officially washing my hands of Chris Johnson unless he finds himself a really good situation, which I don't see happening. Yeah. I don't even think there's much to discuss there, Rick.
No, I don't either. You know, Chris Johnson still has a little gas left in the tank, I think, but you know, he's falling. The longer this goes on, the worse it gets for me as far as ranking him. And I love Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler's chemistry.
You do have a man crush on Brandon.
Oh, there's
Marshall.
No question. I've told you that for the last 3 or 4 years.
Creepy proportions.
Oh,
too.
Really, Mister? I love Ryan Matthews.
Well, Ryan Matthews, a handsome chap, Ryan Matthews.
Fellas, let me ask you guys a question. Just curious, is there a situation out there that you would like to see Chris Johnson go to?
Well, I put out an article 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's going to have to be a good line where he can do a little tap dance behind to find the hole. I would not mind seeing him going to Miami, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I was thinking the Ravens would be an interesting place for him to go, just because you know they still have a decent offensive line. There's a big question mark going on there with Ray Rice right now, who we're going to get to in a little bit. It just seems like it's still a run-oriented offense, and I think that his problem is that he was never really a number one back. He just performed like it, so we kind of made him out to be one. Maybe in a timeshare, you know, where you have like you have to handcuff him with somebody else, he produces better in a way. Maybe he turns into like a Darren Sproles type of back.
I just don't think his ego is going to let him go to a position like that, and that's another reason why I have a hard time really having a lot of faith in him going into 2014. But anyway, we got to move on here. Where are we at here? The
6-11.
The 6-11, and that is, you know, we discussed this when we first come up with the brackets. I'm going to take this one for I love Keenan Allen. He was actually one of my sleepers going into this year. Couldn't have made a worse draw, I don't think, in Alshon Jeffery. I'm going to go Jeffery. I just think he's going to be huge. I love the Bears' offense. He's big. He's got the big hands. He's got speed. Got to go Jeffery.
Yeah, the two guys, the most emergent, if this sentence makes sense, the two guys who emerged most last year at the wide receiver position, Jeffery and Allen. It's a tough break for Allen. He could have made a run with a better draw. But I think Alshon Jeffery, if he isn't already there, is on the verge of greatness, and I think he walks over Keenan Allen.
For me, I was going with Keenan Allen in this just because I think that these two guys are they're two amazing young talents. We saw them take steps up last year. I think that they go even further this year. For me, it's just a matter of in San Diego, there's probably a little more targets to go around than there are in Chicago. And, you know, for what it's worth, Phillip Rivers does have, I don't want to say a better track record of staying healthy than Jay Cutler does, but he's a little more consistent if you throw out his one bad year he had about 2 years ago. He you know, he seemed to like the offense they played in last year. So for me, it was Keenan Allen.
Okay, and I think both of them are going to have good years, and it may be a little closer than what we thought. But let's move on. Where are we at here?
7-10.
That's Cam Newton and Larry Fitzgerald. Jay Smooth, this one shapes up to be an interesting matchup here.
Yeah, and this one was really tough for me only because you don't know what's going on with Cam Newton now when that ankle is. I mean, it just came out of nowhere, it seemed that, like, he was, you know, he's been playing with it for a while, and he had to get surgery, and he's out for 4 months. You know, you don't really know, like, that's a huge question mark. I'm still going to go with him just because I've seen what he could do in the past in terms of throwing the ball, in terms of running the ball. He seems to score touchdowns. And, you know, Fitz is just – I've always loved Larry Fitzgerald. He always finds a way to make it onto at least one of my fantasy teams, but – I think he's on the back end of a pretty storied career right now, and there's a lot more offensive weapons that appeared there last year between him, between Michael Floyd. You know, I still think some of the other younger guys they have are still there. So, give me I'll take Cam Newton in this one.
All right, I'm going Larry Fitzgerald on this one here. He's got a year under his belt with Carson Palmer. Look, Carson Palmer's not the greatest quarterback in the world, but he can get it down the field. 4,000 yards a couple years ago with Oakland, and got used to the offense last year. Pretty good team, too. So they got a running game built in. Floyd's emerged. I'm looking for Fitzgerald. Everything is not just going to be predicated on Larry Fitzgerald this year. That's why I look for him to have a pretty good year, and I think he's going to be a good value.
Yeah, for all the reasons you said, Rick, that's why I can't take Larry Fitzgerald. He had Carson Palmer down there last year. He didn't return to the level he was at when Kurt Warner was there. And you know,
look, who does?
Exactly. And that makes a difference. And when you look at the wide receivers that we've mentioned a couple times here and the talent out there, I think Larry Fitzgerald is on the back end of that tier of wide receiver where Cam Newton, dynamic as he is, the way he gets in the end zone, I'm going to have to go the higher seed here, and we're going to move Cam Newton on to the next round.
All right. Just bear in mind that the receiving core in Carolina is going to be basically rookie to Cam Newton. They have not been going to be worked together.
Hey,
whereas
we got Jericho Cotri. What else do you
need?
Well,
I'm
How
just saying,
whereas
Fitzgerald and Palmer will be more used to each other and more chemistry. He's going to be used to that offense. I'm still sticking to my guns with Fitzgerald.
Well, you're wrong.
Okay.
It's good to see you guys disagree again. It feels like home.
It does feel good.
I know I'm not wrong either. Let's see. Where are we at here?
8-9.
Yes, indeed. That is Vincent Jackson and Ray Rice. Rick, you take this one, buddy.
Man, I just don't know what to make of Ray Rice, and for that reason, I'm going to move V-Jax on. Ray Rice, God, I'd say it's as even a chance he comes all the way back as we don't ever hear from him again and he goes the way of Sean Alexander. I don't trust him. I'm not going to spend the draft pick on him, so I'm not going to move him on in this tournament. And I think through attrition, I'm going to go with V-Jax here.
I took the words right out of my mouth. I think it's just that you don't know what you expect with Ray Rice. It's just a huge question mark. I'd rather take Vincent Jackson. You just, in a matchup like this, you know what you're getting out of him. You know that he's going to get you catches. You know he's going to get you, you know, he's going to get you the big yards and the big touchdowns. I'm all on board with that. Give me Vincent Jackson as well.
All right, let's move on to the – I'm going V-Jax as well. We got to get rolling here. We will never get through.
Let's go ahead, Rick. Let's take the break early when we finish this up.
All right.
We will do the West and the South in rapid-fire fashion in the last segment of the show. So we'll be right back. And we're back on the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show from the Armed Forces Radio Network, talking fantasy football tournament with Jason Consoli, a.k.a. the Fantasy Six Man. Rick, headed to the West region.
Yes, indeed. I'm going Shady McCoy over T.Y. Hilton in the 116. We got to bowl through some of these here. So unless anybody's got any objections, just put a hold on me till I get to about the 412. How's that sound?
Or the 413,
whatever,
for our English-speaking friends.
Yeah. And I like Peyton Manning over Mike Wallace. I don't think he's going to lose anything. Demaryius Thomas in a romp over Marquise Colston.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay. Le'Veon Bell, Phillip Rivers. This is a little more interesting here.
Now, I don't think it's as interesting, but Jay Smooth here has guilted me, and I'm almost feeling guilty about leaning Le'Veon Bell here. You know what makes me nervous, Rick? All these MJD rumors, and he's apparently coming back into town at some point this week. But we've talked about, I love what this kid is doing, and I love the way they utilize him. He's not going to be 100-yard back, but in a PPR format, he's going to get a ton of touches. He looks like he's getting the goal line looks. I know it sounds like a homer pick. I like Le'Veon Bell here.
Go ahead, Jay Smooth.
As much as I want to take the upset here, I can't, because I feel like you know what Phillip Rivers is, and at best last year he was probably, he was definitely a top 10 quarterback. I just feel like with Le'Veon Bell, you have a chance with something here that, there's very few running backs left in fantasy football now that you can count on to be number one running backs, that you draft and you just plug him in and forget about him. He has the potential to be one. I'll take him until he proves me wrong.
Yeah, Rivers was actually the third highest fantasy scoring quarterback last year. Would have walked away with some MVP and some value pick honors last year. He's not going to fall like he did this, like he did last year in this year's draft. People are going to be grabbing him. I like Bell. I'm going to have to go with him as well. Zach Stacy, Ryan Matthews. I'm going Zach Stacy easily. I don't think Matthews is going to play a full season. I'm looking for a big year from Stacy.
You know the love I have for Ryan Matthews, Rick. It borders on inappropriate, to be honest with you. What I saw from Ryan Matthews last year is what I expected from him. I worry about them. I worry about Woodhead. I worry about them bringing in. Help me out here. I'm blanking on
Donald Brown.
Donald Brown. I'm going, there's got to be a 5-12 upset. Zach Stacy, he showed me some things, but I'm going to need to see it 2 years in a row. This is totally, totally off board, but I'm going to go stick with my man Ryan Matthews, and we'll let Jay Smooth make the call here.
Yeah, let's have a little logic out of you there, Jason.
You sound insane trying to argue for Ryan Matthews. That's my argument right there. I like Zach Stacy. I like the offense that he's in. It's predicated by a former Jets offensive coordinator, so naturally I'm gonna lean toward that favorably. But he's a big back. See much difference between the running style he has and the one that Le'Veon Bell has. Maybe he's a little more of a bruiser than Bell is. But I just can't drink the Ryan Matthews Kool-Aid. I've never done it, and it's never been one that I've been excited to get to try out. I'm taking Zach Stacy.
All right, then. Julio Jones and Nick Foles. Julio Jones, I know, is probably a little higher in your rankings, Rick, than he is in mine, even though he's still a top, 5 to 6 wide receiver. And that being said, I think that vaults him over Nick Foles. I think there's plenty of quarterbacks out there. They're going to be comparable to Foles.
Yeah, it's not even close for me. Tony Gonzalez out of town, Roddy White on the downside. You saw what Harry Douglas did last year as the number one receiver when that offense was struggling. Julio Jones, this kid, I think, could make a run in this tournament. It's him with a bullet for me.
Yep, same thing for me here. I'm not on board with the Foles bandwagon, and I kind of feel in that area where he's going to wind up in that, 6 to 12 quarterback range. You can get that later on in the draft. Anyway, you get that from a guy like Tony Romo or from a guy like Matt Ryan. Give me the guy with the upside like Jones.
There you go. Now, the 7-10 matchup, this is one where you are either believing in the New York Jet offense, Jason, or you are believing in the expanded role of Giovanni Bernard and the talent he brings. I'm believing in Bernard myself. I think that Bernard is going to emerge, and you'll see the law firm's workload get lighter in 2014, and I think Eric Decker is going to find being a number one on the Jets not quite as fruitful as a number three on the Broncos.
Yeah, I don't want to take any of your time there, Jason, so I'm going to take Gio Bernard, and now you try to convince us why Eric Decker is the pick here.
Got a hot wife. I mean,
well, that doesn't help. That doesn't hurt anything.
Yeah. I really can't. I can't argue for either of them. I can more make an argument against Bernard. I didn't see enough of him last year. I think he's got the potential, but to take him into something like to take him over a guy who I've seen proven seasons out of and I've seen proven success out of, I'm going to go with Decker just because of the just because he's a wide receiver in a PPR format, and I've seen what he can do in the past. Granted, it's been with Peyton Manning, but he did have a season where he scored 8 touchdowns with Kyle Orton, and yours and my favorite quarterback, Tim Tebow. So give me Decker in this one.
You wish Kyle Orton was the quarterback with the Jets right now, however.
I wish Tim Tebow was the quarterback of the New York Jets right now.
All right, the 8-9 matchup. We have Jordy Nelson and Andrew Luck. This is, to me, a strange matchup, but it is very interesting because I think Andrew Luck is going to have a good year. They're retooling. I think they're going to be a very potent offense. And like I said, I think the Packers doing the same thing, and if Nelson stays healthy, he's going to be huge. Boy, I tell you what, this is a tough one for me, but I think your value is still going to be in Jordy Nelson, and I'm going to go Jordy.
I am going to vehemently disagree. I think Jordy Nelson is the most overseeded guy in this tournament. He had the one breakout year, fantastic years, had health problems, hasn't been the dynamic player he showed two seasons ago. I don't buy into Jordy Nelson at all. He's going to get overdrafted. He's overseeded here, so by default, it's Andrew Luck. I think Andrew Luck's easily a top 10 quarterback. If he doesn't sneak into the top 6 this year, I'd be surprised. I'm going to take Andrew Luck.
Yeah, Rick, I think I got to back you on that. I haven't seen anything from Jordy Nelson in the past couple of years to make me think that he's still a viable top option at receiver. I mean, at best, if you draft Jordy Nelson and he's your flex, I guess you're happy. But, like, if you draft him and he winds up being your number two wide receiver, you can't be totally comfortable with that. You got to hope that, like, you have somebody drafted in the late rounds that's going to just explode and be like a Keenan Allen last year. So, yeah, I'm with you. Give me Andrew Luck.
Okay, you guys are both wrong. Jordy Nelson's going to be drafted way down this year just for all the reasons you said. Luck is going to be vaulted up there and picked high, and I think Nelson is going to be the better value. So you're both wrong. But, you know, I'll take my – I'll let him move on and you know, just bask in the glory later on.
Well, hey, I mean
– Okay.
That's yours, buddy.
Yeah, you better believe it, pal. South, Calvin Johnson over Vernon Davis, who is basically not living up to his freakish build and athleticism. And, you know, Calvin Johnson on a walk here.
Yeah, you're not going to hear any opposition from me on that.
Okay, Marshawn Lynch, Julian Edelman. Even in PPR, I mean, he makes it more interesting. I tell you what, you give me a top three or four or five running back anytime over Julian Edelman.
I worry about Marshawn Lynch's back, but not
true
enough to take a Julian Edelman over him.
Yeah, I mean, same thing with me. You definitely see signs of Marshawn Lynch going down over the past couple of years, but in the same breath, we've never seen Julian Edelman do what he did last year in the past. So for me, it's Lynch.
All right.
I'm just about that action, boss.
Marshawn, thank you for the pick.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, Jimmy Graham in a little bit of a contract.
Hell yeah.
I'm sorry, Marshawn's still talking.
I don't think he is. I think it's you. Jimmy Graham and newly signed Ben Tate, you know, has a number one running back gig. I like Jimmy Graham. I think they're going to get the deal done before April. And everything will just be happy-dappy in New Orleans, and he's going to be Jimmy Graham again.
I don't know about that, and I worry about that. I don't trust Ben Tate in this Browns offense. I actually like the direction the Browns are headed. We've talked about that a few times. But Ben Tate, I worry about this career backup going to a new team, being the number one guy. And with that new team being the Browns, how do you take him over Jimmy Graham?
Yeah, I can't make an argument for him either because I haven't seen him do it in the opportunities he's had in Houston when Arian Foster's gotten hurt. So give me Jimmy Graham as well.
Okay, the 4 seed, Drew Brees against 13, Michael Crabtree.
Tell you what, Rick, I gave a moment's thought about Michael Crabtree here. In flashes, he has really shown what he can do. However, anytime a wide receiver's names being brought up, there's this desperation for the 49ers to sign them. They were out there. What sweepstakes were they in today? It came up again. Whoever's left out there, my mind's just going completely blank here. Drew Brees is Drew Brees. He's steady. He's probably seated just right there. I'm going to stick with Drew Brees, but I could listen to an argument for Michael Crabtree here.
Well, you're not going to get one for me only because I feel like if you're taking Drew Brees, you're kind of banking all your money in the fact that he's going to be a top performer for you, and he's going to do what he's been doing for the past, you know, how many years now has he been in New Orleans? 7, 8, 9 years, however long he's been there. He's not going to fall off. They're going to get the Graham situation taken care of. He's still got Colson. He's still got some of those young guys there. Kenny Stills is still there. I don't feel like this guy's dropping off at all. Give me Brees.
Yeah, me too. And the 5-12 could be interesting. We got Alfred Morris and Frank Gore, both running backs that are basically fantasy based purely on running. PPR really doesn't figure into either one of these guys, especially with Gore the last 3 years since Harbaugh has been there plummeted. Alfred Morris had 9 receptions last year. So I got to go Alfred Morris. He's younger, and I think he's not falling off, so I'm going Morris.
Basically the same guy. Give me the younger one.
Yeah, and the other thing I'd like to mention, too, is that 49ers backfield got kind of crowded. The Marcus Lattimore is coming back next year. Everybody forgot about him. He was like a third or a fourth round pick that had to sit the year out last year. But this is a guy who was talked about as a top 5 pick in the NFL when he was healthy. So I think that's going to, you know, if he comes back and he still has the same explosiveness, you could see a situation like what happened in Buffalo a couple of years ago with Willis McGahee. So give me Alfred Morris as well.
Okay, Rick just said we got about 5 minutes, so we got an interesting here. Both guys trying to come back, Arian Foster, Roddy White. Rick, take it.
Two guys coming off of injuries. I love what Roddy White's done, but in this, again, sort of similar situations, give me the number one running back. Give me Arian Foster.
See, for me, I'm going the opposite. Give me the guy who's a wide receiver in a PPR format, especially when you're talking about a real legit injury risk here with Arian Foster. I'll take Roddy White.
I'm going to make the tiebreaker only because they let Ben Tate go. I think Houston must know something we don't about Arian Foster's health and condition. I'm going Foster. I know what he can do in PPR, and he was a monster the last few years, so I'm going Foster in a very close one. Two teammates, number 7, Reggie Bush, against number 10, Matt Stafford.
Let's do it rapid fire, Rick, so we can get out of here on time. I'm just going to go Reggie Bush.
Same here. I'll take Bush.
All right, me too. And then the 8-9 matchup, you either buying into C.J. Spiller or you're not. And he's going up against Andre Johnson.
I am done talking about C.J. Spiller. I'll take Andre Johnson.
Yeah, that makes two of us. I'm all about Andre Johnson. I still think that regardless of whoever's going to be the quarterback there, if it's going to be a young guy, he's going to need to throw the ball to somebody, and he's got one of the best wide receivers in the NFL history lining up to the sideline. So give me Andre Johnson.
It's unanimous. I like it.
All right. Well, hey, Jason Consoli, Fantasy Sixth Man, thank you for stopping in. It was a blast. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Pleasure's been all mine, fellas, as usual. Come check out our website, fantasysixman.com. That is fantasy, the number 6thman.com. Whenever you have owners in your league that, you know, stop sending their lineups, don't bother responding to trade offers, don't adjust their rosters for injuries, we'll take over those deadbeat teams. We'll run them as if they were our own to keep your league fair, competitive, and to get the headaches away from your commissioners. Follow me on Twitter, @fantasysixman. And, guys, it's been a pleasure as always, man. I love talking to you guys. We got to do this more often.
Yes, indeed. No doubt about it. We appreciate you coming on and helping us through the first round because we had some pretty good matchups.
We did. We did. I was very intrigued. I would have liked to get more time to delve into some of these, but you know what? Let's see what your listeners have to say about that. I'm sure they'll have plenty of comments for you guys on your blog and on Twitter.
As with most shows we do, we'll be bombarded with some sort of hate mail immediately following the show, so we'll keep you in the loop. So, Jason, thanks again. Let's do it again before the summer's up and we get ready for our draft.
Sounds great, guys. You guys take it easy.
All right.
You
thanks
too, buddy.
A lot. All right, Rick, the Fantasy Six Man. Check him out at Fantasy Six Man. We've got about a minute left, so want to take another while since we have a minute left. We sort of went through it real quick. Thank the guys over at Fantasy Oasis, FFOasis.com. Thrilled to be a part of what they have going over there. I think one of the fastest growing sites out there. Some great writers and add more every day, and we're a rare moment of contrition for us, but we're proud to be a part of that team.
Yeah, we certainly are. You know, Scott Fish, Chris Gooden.
And you figure with the addition of me.
Now you're interrupting again.
Oh,
I'm trying to give guys props, and you had to start blathering on again.
Well, let's not do it individually. In the end, it's still all about
us. I just think it's wonderful.
Right?
They look these guys up and follow them on Twitter is what I was going to say, but no, we can't do that. We have to interrupt.
But the median, what I wanted to point out is the median attractiveness of the Fantasy Football Oasis went up exponentially by signing the asylum. And that's not an insult at any of the guys there. That's just how good-looking we are. So, guys, you're welcome for all of that. You got nothing to say.
Yeah, nothing. Just you just interrupt me anyway, so I'm done.
That's a good point. All right, let's get out of here. Thank you to FFOasis.com. Check them out. Thank you to the Armed Forces Radio Network, armedforcesradio.co. Check us out at Asylum Football on Twitter. For God's sake, get us to 2,000 followers. It's getting embarrassed. Check it out Thursday, 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio and AsylumFantasySports.com. What I feel is going to be a pretty good bonus hour, Rick.
Yeah, it probably will be if I can ever talk without being interrupted.
All right. For Rick Briggs, because he's over there having a hissy fit, I'm Rick Flieger. This is The Asylum. We'll see you Thursday.
Take care.